today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
What we're doing is understanding that the bread symbolizes his body broken for us. The cup symbolizes his blood poured out so that your sins and mine may be forgiven. We remember our Savior who's beaten and pierced. His precious blood is shed for the forgiveness of sins.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, the Apostle Paul reminds us that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And we see this destructive desire at work in the betrayal of Jesus by one of his own. But today on The Verdict, we're contrasting that misplaced love with the matchless love of Christ. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with today's lesson.
Martin Luther said, "The cross alone is our theology." By this, he didn't mean that he didn't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but that the cross is central to the Christian faith. Apart from the cross, Jesus Christ is no savior. His very name means savior of his people from their sins. Last time in Matthew 26, we saw the Lord on the night in which he was betrayed. He instituted what we call the Lord's Supper or communion. At the very center is the Lord Jesus. The bread is a picture of his incarnation. The wine, a picture of the cost of our salvation, his blood. We are on holy ground as we listen to our Savior and look closely at the Lord's table, one of the two ordinances of the church.
Will you open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26? Read with me. Chapter 26, verse 17. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, 'Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me.' And they were very sorrowful and began to say to one another, 'Is it I, Lord?' He answered, 'He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born.' Judas, who would betray him, answered, 'Is it I, Rabbi?' He said to him, 'You have said so.'" Verse 26. Now as they were eating, that's the Passover, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them saying, "Drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." One of the things that we do at the Lord's Supper is that we look back. Israel looked back to their deliverance. What do we look back to? We're looking back to an even greater event than Israel's deliverance from Egypt. You see, what's that event? The cross. And Jesus Christ is the true Lamb of the Passover. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5:7, "For Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed." That Lamb that the Israelites took, which was without blemish, it was a type of the Lamb of God who is going to take away the sin of the world. That perfect Lamb, our Lord Jesus Christ, without spot or blemish. And when the Lamb of God comes into time and space, he comes as a sacrifice for the sin of the world. And his redemptive work is perfectly and fully completed. The sacrifice of our Lord Jesus, the Lamb on the cross, unlike all of the Old Testament sacrifices, is final, it's unrepeatable, it's perfect, and it is complete, and it ends all sacrifices. Do we understand that? That's the wonder of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10, verse 12, but when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. The sacrifice is over. No more sacrifices. We are not re-sacrificing Christ. The Lord's Supper today is not a sacrifice offered by a priest on an altar. Rather, it is a supper served from a table. What a difference. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the host, and he invites all of his people, those saved by his blood, those who've been born again by his grace, he invites all of us come to do what? One of the things we do is to remember him. No longer on a cross. That cross up there is empty. No, Jesus is not on a cross. He's on his throne. His work is completed. He's risen from the dead. And what we do and what we are going to do, I trust you're going to do it, you're going to look back to the cross and rejoice at the forgiveness of our sins. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. We look back to that unique, never to be forgotten, unrepeatable, perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We take bread. What does that symbolize? It symbolizes his incarnation. Our Lord Jesus Christ was and is and ever shall be God. What happens at the incarnation? He comes into time and space. The Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. And he comes not only as a man, as he comes as a servant. Not only as a servant, he comes as one obedient to death. Yes, death on the cross. And we remember that. We take the cup. The cup symbolizes his outpoured blood. Verse 28, this is my blood. No, the bread and wine don't actually turn into the literal body and blood of Jesus Christ, as some teach erroneously. No, we don't believe in transubstantiation. What we're doing is understanding that the bread symbolizes his body broken for us. The cup symbolizes his blood poured out so that your sins and mine may be forgiven. We remember our Savior who's beaten and pierced. His precious blood is shed for the forgiveness of sins. And we come and we praise him that our sins are forgiven. As Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, that we do this in remembrance of me. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, that's true, isn't it? Took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it. Notice, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Do you ever forget the cross in your busy life? Central to the life of the church, as commanded by the Lord Jesus, is this feast, this ordinance, so that you would never forget that your salvation is not based on what you do. It's all of the grace of God accomplished through his redemptive work. And we drink that cup and we remember. And sometimes said, the world drinks to forget. We drink to remember. And the Lord's Supper today is a reminder, please hear me, that you are not the center of your world. Do this, not in remembrance of John Monroe, not in remembrance of anyone here. Do this in remembrance of me. Who is the central person in your life? You? Give me, satisfy me. You offended me. You didn't help me the way you should. Boo-hoo. Right? This is the way we live. As you come to the Lord's table, if you're a follower of Christ, can you ask God's help? That selfish, self-seeking, self-absorption, which characterizes us in our flesh, is transformed by the Spirit. As the more we meditate on the sacrifice of Christ, the more we're transformed, and that we're surrendered to our Savior. This do in remembrance of me. Now, also at the Lord's Supper, we examine ourselves and we rejoice in the gift of present salvation. Did you catch as we read that all of the disciples, as the Lord Jesus is talking about betrayal, said, "Is it I?" Now, Judas also said it in tremendous hypocrisy. But isn't it significant that Peter and James and Andrew said, "Is it I?" And when Paul is giving his account of the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11, he says, "Let a man examine himself." I'm to examine myself. I can't see into your heart. You may be a Judas and you say, "Oh, it's not me. I'm all right." You may question me and I can put defense mechanisms and I can deflect. But you're to examine yourself in the light of Scripture and in the light of the cross of Christ. Would you do that today? It's possible to be the Lord's table and yet to be spiritually lost. That was Judas. Says Jesus, it'd been better for that man if he'd never been born. He's an insider, but he's eternally lost. A Judas, a false professor, a hypocrite. We've dealt with hypocrites in Scripture, haven't we? Any hypocrites here? Anyone who's pretending, you can give the glib answer. I want you to allow the Spirit of God to examine you. Whoever you are, would you? Some sin. You're living a double life. And you're here today. But I'm asking you, do you know Jesus Christ? Have you experienced the forgiveness of sins? Have you? I'm speaking to you. We welcome you, whoever you are. Thank you for coming. But I have to ask you, as your pastor, to challenge you, as Scripture does, will you examine yourself to see, am I truly a child of God? So I come, I look back, I examine myself. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." What are we doing? We are proclaiming the Lord's death. We are presently rejoicing in all of the benefits of salvation. This is my body. This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Isaiah writes about the Messiah, he pours out his soul to death. This is the blood of the new covenant. The old covenant is a covenant of condemnation. John, you cannot keep the law. John, you are a sinner. John, you come short. I'm condemned, and I'm condemned forever if I continue like that. My Lord Jesus Christ comes and says, "Repent." And the Lord's Supper helps us to understand how God deals with our sin. The wages of sin is death. Why did our Savior have to die? He goes into our death. He dies for me. The bread is broken for me. The cup is poured for the forgiveness of my sins. Jesus is giving his life in love for me. The indictment of my sin has been nailed to his cross. He is my substitute. We call that in theology the substitutionary atonement. That our Lord Jesus Christ goes on the cross as our substitute in place of us. We sometimes sing, I'm not sure if we're singing it today, Tim, bearing shame and scoffing root in my place, condemned. He stood. You deserve the condemnation under the law. You've sinned. You know that. My Lord Jesus Christ comes and says, John, I love you. And I'm stepping into the place of condemnation. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. That's what we're doing. We're remembering the Lord. Have you been there? And as we do this, we renew our commitment to the Lord Jesus. We thank him for our salvation. We ask for an outpouring of his grace and peace. We hear again our Savior say, I love you. I forgive you. You are my child forever. This is our present experience. Yes, we experience this, but the experience is based on truth, on reality. A few days ago, someone sent me a copy of the words on the step of the Mint Museum in Uptown Charlotte, and there it is. There is no rhyme or reason. Your purpose is only to experience. Is that biblical truth? It's kind of, with all due respect to whoever wrote it, it's a kind of silly statement as well. It's telling me there is no purpose, there's no rhyme or reason, but apparently the purpose is to experience. That's self-contradicting, isn't it? Is the Christian faith to be experienced? Of course it is. We experience it as we come to the table of the Lord. But in the gospel, there is reason to believe. There is a purpose. There is doctrine. There is an understanding of the truth of the cross. But then the wonder that I and you, as we come here, we experience afresh the forgiveness of sins. Think of the wonder of it, that you can walk out into that parking lot and understand all of your sins are forgiven. We sometimes find it hard to forgive people, don't we? They offend us, they let us down, and we're bitter over some petty little thing. People don't speak to each other for years. We're so slow to forgive. There is forgiveness through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. His blood is poured out for the forgiveness of our sins, and we experience it. Our Savior is saying to you, take it, eat it. It's for sinners like you. We look back. We examine ourselves in the present. Finally, very quickly, at the Lord's Supper, we eagerly and joyfully anticipate the return of our Lord and the messianic banquet. Did you notice verse 29? I tell you, says Jesus, you will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Paul says we proclaim the Lord's death in 1 Corinthians 11 until he comes. We are eagerly, and we've thought of this recently as we looked at Matthew 24 and 25, we're eagerly anticipating the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful to experience the forgiveness of sins, but the best is yet to be. Can you imagine what eternity is like? I think sometimes we forget that. It's as if some people want to live to their 120 and spend the last 10 years in a nursing home in a wheelchair. I'm quite honestly, I'd rather be with the Lord. That's all in the Lord's hands, isn't it? Life here can be very difficult. There are problems, there are tears, there's sadness. Life is difficult. We experience disappointments and tensions and bereavements and tragedies and unbelievable sorrow sometimes here. We come to the Lord's table. Yes, we look back. We examine ourselves. We experience once again the joy of the forgiveness of our sins. But we don't stop there, and Jesus didn't stop there, and Paul didn't stop there. We look forward. We've got a tremendous future. Soon, our Savior will come. In John chapter 14, to disciples who were devastated, he says to them, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, what? I will come again." He's coming back. And Paul says, we do this until he comes. And the Lord's Supper then points forward to that great unending day. Isaiah 37 verse 10, "Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy and sorrow, and sighing shall flee away." And we anticipate another feast. It's called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. We don't know all about much about that. It's described in Revelation 19, but Jesus refers to it here. He says, "You will not drink again of this fruit until that day." That is that great eternal day, which begins with his messianic kingdom, goes on into eternity. "When I drink it new," notice the words, "with you in my Father's kingdom." There is someone you admire, someone you respect, perhaps some celebrity that you admire, and that person invites you to their home for a meal. How wonderful to eat with such a person, to have fellowship with such a person. Can you imagine what Jesus is saying to you and to me? That through his grace, we're going to be part of that great messianic kingdom, that great marriage supper of the Lamb, and he will drink it with you. Notice the personal relationship, the eternal relationship that the Lord Jesus had with the 11. The 11 apostles are going to be there with Christ. You take the bread, it's for you. The cup, it's for you. The best is yet to be. We're going to drink and eat and feast with our Savior, with him in the Father's kingdom. Are you ready for that kingdom? Are you part of that kingdom? Is your trust in Jesus Christ?
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled Love of Money and Love of Sinners. John will be back in just a moment, but first, I'd like to tell you about the special free resource we're currently offering our listeners. It's a booklet written by John, focused on what Jesus taught his followers about how to follow him on a daily basis. This booklet walks you through the teaching of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount with insightful notes that will help you better understand and apply the very practical instruction of Jesus so that you can grow in your walk with him. The booklet is titled Life in the Kingdom, and you can request your free copy today by going to our website at theverdict.org. Here at The Verdict, we're committed to sharing the truth of God's Word and the good news of Jesus Christ every day. And if you want to be a part of this gospel work, consider supporting our ministry with a gift of any amount. To give right now, visit theverdict.org. And remember, no matter where you're listening from or what your schedule looks like, you can always hear these messages by subscribing to The Verdict Podcast, available through your podcast app. When you subscribe, we also encourage you to leave a review and comment to help other listeners find the program. Like this listener who said, "John Monroe teaches straight from the text. Excellent podcast." Thank you for sharing. And now, with his closing remarks, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Do you grasp the meaning of the Lord's Supper? It's not a ritual we go through in order to obtain or keep our salvation. It is a celebration for those who are part of the family of God, that all that we are and have we owe to our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a reminder that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. Here is the centrality of the gospel: Christ dying for our sins. Do you have the assurance that your sins are all forgiven?
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.